Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Say it most weeks.
Yeah,
I do quite like that. I mean, Luis has done well there.
Like the music.
Yeah.
You happy? Yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Moves along, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's hard. Hey, less than what?
Quite gently.
Yes. Like us.
My name is Richard Keys.
My name is Andrew Gray.
This is Keys and Gray podcast, mm-hmm. available on all good platforms, and they used to say on Soccer AM, some bad ones as well.
Oh, some bad ones as well.
If indeed such a thing exists.
Yeah, there must be.
We're totally independent, aligned to nothing and no one. Therefore, what you hear is what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Now you found us, tell your mates. We are available, as I say, across many different platforms worldwide.
That's it.
So,
with the world about to arrive in this country.
Yeah, very much.
Mm.
Yeah.
30 days to go.
30 days as we sit Friday. Mm,
we sit Friday, 30 days.
30 yeah. days.
Wow.
Amazing.
You know, when we got here, I was working out the other day, and I think roughly, when we got here, I think we had 3,000, so if it's 10 years, that's 3,650 days,
mm-hmm.
plus a couple of leap years, 3,600 and about 52 or 53 days when we got here. Now but we've got 30.
Not only did you get your Duke of Edinburgh, you got your maths O-level as well.
Arithmetic.
Yes.
Oh, right. There was two, you see, there was two in my day. Is there two now still? There was two tests. There was maths and there was a separate O-level, or GCSE as they call it now. There was a separate GCSE for arithmetic.
From a land that time forgot. I mean, how exciting was that this week when I sent you the opening titles?
Oh, funny.
Both Fireball XL5 and Stingray.
Stingray, I know.
And those of us of a certain generation understand how dramatic that was on a Tuesday or Friday night.
And throw in Thunderbirds as well. And
that was different gear. That was a step up entirely. Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is when you could see the strings.
And what was the one? It was Stingray. There was another
Supercar.
One. Supercar. I don't remember Supercar too well.
Supercar was the first one,
right.
Really.
Uh-huh.
Then there was Joe 90.
I remember Joe 90 with the glasses.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was the
magic
Captain
glasses.
Scarlet.
Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Don't yes. forget when that circle used to travel over, remember? What were you like?
Gerard
Happy
sacked.
Days.
Gerard sacked.
Yeah. Yeah. Inevitable, I would have to say. Keezy. Inevitable.
I don't know what he was doing in charge last night. From good sources,
right? Okay,
the football club mm-hmm. was told last weekend he's done.
Really?
Yeah, and I think if I knew that, players must have known that.
Yeah.
I think the performance last night. Yeah. Although I don't think Michael Oliver helped them.
No, I don't
think.
Depends
a joke.
The penalty was a joke.
Not sure about the sending off, but they didn't play as well as they should have done against a Fulham team that, a couple of weeks have hit the wall. In my
but
view,
they played well last night.
Or Fulham allowed
them to play well last night because they could have been out of sight at half time. To be honest with you, if it hadn't been for some bad chance he's missed and the goalkeeper having a wonderful 45 minutes, then it would have been a disaster. But listen, it was a disaster. I have the funny feeling that yes, they might have made their mind up, but they were going to give them these two games because Villa owners a hierarchy at the club must have thought.
Well, what's the point if you've made your mind up? Yeah, what's the point?
The point would be that it's a
two more games. You know the atmosphere.
Corner turn.
But you know the atmosphere at the club, Andy. And it goes all the way back to what we discussed it previously. What he did to Mings on the opening day of the season was ridiculous. You lost half the dressing room. His mates, Tyrone Mings' mates. Yeah. I know what you're going to say. Manager must be in a position to make big calls.
Of course he must.
But if he'd done that in May, as I said at the time, he called him in May and said, Tyrone, I don't fancy you. It's a big year for you. England playing the World Cup in November. Find yourself a club. I'll help, but you're not going to play here. But to make a fool of him in the manner that he did on the opening day of the season and then have to go back to him, which was embarrassing, but you've lost the lad. You've lost half the dressing room. I just always got the feeling it was a dour place to go to work.
Yeah. It doesn't.
And that didn't help.
It didn't seem bright. Stephen's not the most outgoing character, is he, when you see him interviewed or on the sidelines?
Yeah.
Effusive, would you use the word? Okay. So he's not like one of these giant personalities like you know, the big boys are. But that's his nature. You can't change that. But that, I always say, a team reflects the personality of their coach often.
You can take yourself less seriously.
Yes.
You can laugh a little bit.
Yes, that's
why
what I mean.
Is Villa Park a graveyard? Since Ron Atkinson. I bet you've forgotten some of these.
Right,
Brian Little.
Yeah.
John Gregory.
Yeah.
Graham Taylor.
Uh-huh.
David O'Leary. Martin O'Neill. Uh-huh. Gerard Houllier. Alex McLeish. Paul Lambert. Tim Sherwood. Remy Gard,
yeah.
Yeah? Remy Gard. Roberto Di Matteo. Brucey. Dean Smith. Stephen Gerrard.
Since Big Run?
Mm-hmm.
How many is that? It's about 12?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
In how many years?
In Premier League years.
Since 92?
Yeah.
14?
Yep.
Wow. That's like one every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's too many.
And no, but Martin got close.
Martin did all right.
No one's got anywhere near otherwise.
Gregor did not bad, I think, did he?
Yeah, but...
But no one else.
After 12 games, Gregor. Remember
that? I remember that. No, that wasn't good. No, you got carried away, Gregor.
Yeah.
You did get carried away, John.
But why? Why Aston Villa?
I don't know. It shouldn't be. Having played there, I spent 7 years of my career there as a seven? Yeah, 7-6 as player and one as a coach. So I know the club very well. I know what a brilliant place it is to play football and be right in the heart of the country. You know, it's a football area. They love their football. It's a great ground now. Whatever people thought of Duke Ellis, he left a fantastic arena for people to come and play in. Training ground is fantastic. And I don't understand why no one can get it
modern
right.
Players.
I almost get the feeling that we're talking about Newcastle here.
Well, because, to some degree,
do you know what I mean?
But you know the geographical plus that Villa have is
right in the middle.
You get to London
in an hour and a half.
But that was something else I thought Stephen should have done. I, as the manager of the football club,
mm-hmm.
And by the way, we'll be talking to Big Sam about very shortly,
yeah.
I guess this week, management. He should have embraced the area.
Yeah.
I know it's difficult with fans, but come on, you know, throw yourself, understand Birmingham, understand the rivalry with the football club.
So you don't think living there 3 nights a week?
No.
And then going home.
When Brucey managed Birmingham, he lived in Birmingham.
Yeah, he did. Live next to me.
When he managed from me. Villa, he'd moved back to South Manchester.
Uh-huh.
And it's a journey. And it's not a big journey, but you left Villa to go and play for Wolves and moved into Shropshire.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
If you're not in the air, if you're not, I know it's different with the radio, but reading the local newspaper, absorbing yourself.
No, you mean I agree with you. Listen, I agree with you, but again, if we sit here and talk about it, people say, well, that's you can't do that these days. There's so many managers don't live. Are there so many managers that don't live in the area they work?
If you're working on Merseyside, you're probably living in South Manchester, but you're close enough.
Yeah.
I just think the
M62.
And I know Martin travelled from Wickham and it wasn't very far, but maybe that's just an old-fashioned...
That's what I'm thinking. That people might think that's just an old-fashioned way of managing, but I agree with you. I think you need to throw yourself into the area that you're either coaching or playing in. I think it helps enormously to be around the place. But listen, managers make those choices. If we wanted Stephen Gerrard at Aston Villa, then we had to say... Okay,
yep.
If Stephen wants to come down and stay 3 nights a week and then go home the others, then...
Jose didn't live in Manchester. Okay, speaking of which, back page of the Mirror, outcast.
Back page of the Mirror.
He wanted...
Ronaldo. Yeah. Not surprised. A lot of things...
The last one like this, sorry.
Go on.
Tevez.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was the most, God, unbelievable furore.
Yeah. You know,
Tevez actually only refused to keep warming up, not go on.
No.
This is Ronaldo. Do I have any sympathy with... Yeah, I do. 86 minutes played, you're two up at home.
I do.
Do you want to put Cristiano Ronaldo on?
I would have sympathy with any player. Because we've always sat there and we've said that, haven't we? They do it tactically to waste time, waste a minute, because they're in a game. We know how they do that. And he might have thought, well, but should Ronaldo get special privileges because he's Ronaldo? Or should he just be part of the team as he's always said he is? Now, listen, since he got there, we've had a slightly different opinion on him. But I can't disagree with it now. I mean, if I'm at that club and I'm a player there and having watched what he did, I don't want him anywhere near it.
I would never have brought him back.
I don't want him anywhere near it. And I understand why they brought him back. I do. And I was all for it. But I can't sit here and say it hasn't worked. It definitely hasn't worked. Mm. And at the moment, it's counterproductive for Manchester United to have him anywhere near the team. You can see the team are lifted when he's not there. And that's a stupid thing to say about one of the greatest players the world has ever seen. But it's a fact now.
He's training on his own now.
He's 37.
Which he's always done anyway. And others have gone along to admire when that was the case. Now they're looking at him going, well, you know.
Yeah, don't get him. He's got a World Cup coming up in a month. He's not going to kick a ball in the next month.
Andy Dunn in the Mirror today, this leapt out at me because another headline I read during the course of the week that Harry Kane is considering moving to Germany to play for Bayern Munich. When Conte said this, I think I'd have made my mind up if I was Kane. When the level is high, we're going to struggle. Every time we play a high-level game, we struggle. This is after their defeat at Manchester United this week. Well, isn't that what Kane should be aiming at, a high-level game? And Tottenham in general, high-level games.
Sorry, what you're saying is, it's not like high intensity. He's not talking about the game itself, he's talking about the opponent.
Yeah, what he's saying is we're not good enough.
Every time we play a top opponent, they're better than us. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The way I read it.
Yeah, okay. Well, if he's doing that, if that's what he's intimating, then he's clearly sending a message to the owners.
I think he's clearly sending a message to everybody around and about, including Kane.
Wow.
Martin Samuel, on a subject that I have been in total agreement with him, Tracy Crouch is frustrated that her proposals for a government regulator football have been thwarted by the chaos surrounding this government. Her review was published 10 months ago, but we're yet to see much of a white paper from the Department for Digital Culture, Media and Sport. I would expect nothing less than top quality, said Crouch. I'm obviously quoting Sammy here.
Yeah.
It's being delayed by politics, and that is frustrating. Well, as Sammy goes on to say, a less talented and competent group of people, it would be impossible to imagine. And anyone who thinks they should have anything to do, this is politicians, with our national game, should be sectioned. Mm-hmm. Hear, hear, Sammy.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree
Well, you've
more.
Always believed that. And I have to say, they haven't done themselves any favours, no.
But it's just nonsense.
It's nonsense. They can't run their own business, let alone ours.
He also, Sammy, today, the lead, a Premier League All-Star game.
He doesn't like that, does he?
Is fantasy football as played by idiots. Well, again, he's right.
Yeah, it's Americanization of our league.
We said, maybe Charity Shield, but not at the start of the season, they're now saying, somewhere in the middle of the season. Well, no.
No, no.
No, that doesn't work.
No.
This also, if I'm Michael Beale, the new manager of
No,
Wolves,
not the new manager.
Sorry, not the new manager.
Not if, the new if, manager if, of Wolves,
if,
you
if
mean.
If I'm Steve Davis, and my chairman, Jeff Shee, has said, there are no outstanding candidates. I'm saying to myself, hang on, what do you mean? So what am I doing then?
Well, he's not getting it, that's what
he's got it.
Steve's got it.
Yes, he's got it.
They've given him it.
Yes, Wolves hand caretaker boss Steve Davis, the Molyneux hot seat until 2023, after failing to get Michael Beale. As Chairman Jeff Shee says, there are no outstanding...
Cheers.
Thanks very much, Chairman.
Maybe we'll talk to Sam about things like that, what it's like to manage, or do you manage a club these days? Is it different from when Big Sam did it?
But how can your chairman say?
No, you can't. I'm sorry, that's just...
You can't say that.
That's nonsense. Who's the chairman? Who's it?
Jeff Shee.
Was it the Chinese boy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, maybe they just don't care.
If you want me to take the job, okay. New plans to relaunch the Super League, fears that English clubs have become too dominant. We have heard this time and time again. It will happen. It will happen.
Okay, let me ask you if it happens. You've always believed that.
There we go. There's the headline I was looking for. Harry Kane can envisage a move to Bayern Munich, according to reports in Germany, as the Bundesliga champions continue to monitor the England striker, who is yet to extend his time.
The Bundesliga?
Beyond 2020.
Would I go to the Bundesliga?
Yes, all day long if I'm Harry Kane.
Why?
Well, I want to finish my career with medals.
Oh, he'll get plenty there.
And I'll get some there. Point.
He'll win the Bundesliga every year.
I've toiled at Spurs with nothing to show for it for 10 years.
Not a thing.
Number 9 shirt has not been filled since Lewandowski left.
No, it hasn't. Sadio Mane hasn't quite. But he's not a number 9.
This one is interesting because remember Mark Bosman? And when Bosman went to court.
Yeah, the Bosman ruling.
Looking for
freedom of contract.
Initially, there were small paragraphs in newspapers and nobody took it too seriously. Mm-hmm. And then, boom. Small group of Barcelona fans have quietly begun a process they believe could bring about a seismic change in European football after they went to court over the transfer of Lionel Messi to Paris. Lawyers appeared Tuesday before a senior judge at the European Court of Justice to argue that Messi's move from Catalonia to Paris broke European laws on state aid, and they've called for the European Commission to investigate the transfer. Big money move like that between France and Spain.
It wasn't that big.
Messi's.
Aye. What did they pay for him? Nothing.
What are they paying him?
Yeah, what they're paying him is different, but you never paid for him.
Listen, this may go nowhere. It might not have legs, but it just struck me that a lawyer somewhere believes there's a case to argue. And just keep your eyes on it and see where it goes. It could very well be that the session in Luxembourg lasted 3 hours in front of a judge. Hearing was in effect.
I don't know where that goes. State aid.
Yeah.
So they're saying that France aided Catalonia or Spain.
Well, yeah. I mean, the amount of money Messi joined PSG in the summer of 21, perhaps the most high-profile transfer of modern times. He left on a free transfer after an agreed contract to be reported worth $94 million over 3 years.
I'm getting confused here. I know you're the intelligent one when it comes to this, but state aid. The only person I can see Paris Saint-Germain have aided is Lionel Messi.
Well, they need you in the chair to make a big decision.
Well, he is, isn't it? Who's benefited? Barcelona didn't benefit. They got nothing for him. Paris Saint-Germain bought a player, didn't for nothing, paid him what they like.
The fans want a ruling on whether the French Football Federation distorted the competition to bring itself into compliance with UEFA club licensing and financial fair play regulations.
Oh, well, that's got a clue. By the way, financial fair play regulations, waste of time. Don't talk about any. No one gets done for financial irregularities.
Got some good news?
Go on.
Referee Howard Webb will be in charge of VAR on Boxing Day.
Oh, wow. The return of the
December
Premier 26. League.
Well, let's hope. I mean, the current incumbent is apologists. Hopeless.
Terrible.
Hopeless.
Terrible.
Community Shield could be played overseas.
Yeah, don't mind that. I don't mind it.
Then end of the wedge.
No.
39th game.
Yeah. Don't mind that.
Richard Scudamore
said
this.
As long as the other 38 are played in England.
Richard Scudamore said this.
Yeah, he did.
Many years
ago. Well, he tried it, didn't he? He tried to get it implemented.
He did talk about it.
Yeah, the 39th game.
This
mind
also, if it were a one-off, I'd say okay. But
good.
It's not. Former Reading Academy defender been banned by the FA for 10 years after being found guilty of spot fixing, placing illegal bets on an FA Cup match in which he played last year. Kynan Isaac, who plays in the Southern League for Stratford Town.
That's the trouble with spot betting, fixing.
That's why I said if this was a one-off, I'd say, okay, well done. But you just know it's not.
No.
You just know it's not, Andy. When
is that spot fixing? Because is that like, if say we kick off and I've bet that there's going to be a throw-in in the first 10 seconds of the football match. Is that the type of thing?
Yes.
So that means if you bet on that and you won the toss.
I think we're all aware of that one now because Matt Letizier made us aware of the fact that at Southampton they'd done it at a game at Old Trafford. Unfortunately, Ian Dowie hunted the ball down.
Yeah, and kept it
so
in play.
So it didn't go out. but the boys had got money on them being the first throw.
Could players still bet on winning their own football match?
Nobody in football should be anywhere near gambling.
No, but what I'm saying is, if I'm playing for a team and I really fancy beating this team,
you'd have to get your father-in-law or something.
Because you're not doing anything wrong. You're betting your team to win.
Yeah, you are. Well, to, no, you are. You shouldn't be anywhere near Gavin. Right, 14 just, bets no, were no, placed on Isaac to be booked during the game, amounting to £1,516. Of that sum, 1,462 was bet on a 53-minute period that the night before the match. So an hour before the game, the night before. So it's... You know,
no, that's worrying. That is.
There's an investigation ongoing into a booking Xhaka picked up.
Yes, the boys went there.
It's not a one-off, is it?
No.
And
listen, we've seen it down there, not so much betting, but we've seen people take a booking because they'll miss one certain game and they won't miss another game. And
that's different.
Got themselves booked for
Dennis
that reason.
Dennis Law always missed the Christmas fixtures. Sparky never played on Boxing Day. I think that's different. We've seen players in Champions League games
get booked banned
late on to miss the first game of a group stage. Something similar.
Yeah.
We know that happens. It's always been the case.
That has.
But when there's money involved. But we spoke to Steve Darby on this podcast, Reedy's assistant in Thailand. Remember? And he worked in the Far East a long time. And he said when players can't earn the sort of money the big boys do, it's a source of income.
It is a source of income.
He told the story. I signed a goalkeeper who said to me, "Coach, I'm yours for 30 games this year, but two are mine.
Some are mine."
So I can send the children to school. And then you can't condone it, but you understand that happens, don't you?
And how do you police that? You can't.
Impossible.
Impossible. Totally impossible. Totally impossible.
Cup of tea, nice. Should we talk to Sam?
Yeah, good. Why not? He's not far away anyway.
No, he's not. a number of interesting subjects, I think, for him to get his teeth into as well. How are you doing, big man?
Very good, thank you. I'm chilling out in Dubai, as you all know, lads, one of my favourite places.
And, one thing you're not doing in Dubai, Sam, is chilling. That's definitely not a word you do.
Very good.
You like Dubai, don't you?
Well, I came here with a team way back in 2000 with Bolton, and ever since then, really fell in love with the place and watched this development over many, many years, and of course, it suits what we like, me and Lynn. You know what I mean? We love the place. We love how it's developed. Mm-hmm. We've got some really good friends who've been living here for a long time, and it's not too far on the plane these days with the Emirates flight and six and a half hours and guaranteed sunshine.
Yeah, 6.5 hours in first class, Sam, with Emirates.
Sam. What's not a hardship. Such a hardship, Sam.
The Dom Perignon's very nice. Yeah. The Dom Perignon's very nice.
Sam sits there and goes, "Where did it go wrong in my life?"
Where did it go wrong, yeah.
Why would you want to go back to work? I can't think of any good reason when you're enjoying life to this degree.
Well, that's very true, but you know the drug. You know what happens with the drug. But obviously, that would be me being very selective today. I think if anything was right or the whole thing felt right and the support was there, and when I say support,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What I mean, above, support above is the most critical thing for a manager that goes into generally what is a struggling football club. I mean, that's when you get a job. You get a job when the previous manager, unfortunately, has been sacked and the club is really struggling compared to where it thinks it should be.
I suppose it's appropriate in many ways. We're talking to you this morning. I was going to ask you, so on a day like today, when Steven Gerrard wakes up and he's no longer in a job, what does that do to you as a manager? How do you feel on that first day? Because you've been there.
Well, not great, to be perfectly honest. I think you have to reflect on the situation. I wouldn't have thought he'd got much sleep. I would think that he would be getting phone call after phone call, message after message on his phone. And I think that your closest friends and family need to be around you at this time to help you recover from the blow of losing your position, particularly in Stephen's case, for the very first time. And having been successful at Rangers, which he was, he's now found that the trials and tribulations of the Premier League are a much more challenging situation, particularly when you're dealing with a team and a squad of players that are probably just under mid-table at the best.
Wow.
And having to try and pit your wits against the best and the best teams who are better than you and still try and get results, whereas Rangers was a little more, a little more, not quite as complex as that, and they've always been one of the best two teams in the league, and he proved that he could build that team to win the league, you know. But the, obviously in the Premier League there are certain levels that the club think that he should reach, and obviously with the results starting this season and not too good at the back end of last season, sadly, he knew he was under pressure, and of course the players haven't done him any favours. But I have to say this, we're only as good as the players we can manage, and there is one major factor that Dean Smith suffered, and now Steven Gerrard, and that's no Jack Grealish. And that is that if you look at the major difference in results to Aston Villa when Jack Grealish was sold for 100 million, and Dean Smith then struggled, and Steven has struggled eventually over the period of time he was at. So that one iconic player makes so much more difference to a club like Aston Villa. So, as is the same with Wilfried Zaha that I managed at Crystal Palace. They, you know, they've managed to hold on to him, and they managed to hold on to their Premier League status. It's not all about him, obviously, but he is a player that can turn a game and turn a game in your favour at any time in a game.
So one player can make a team. You can have a...
Yeah.
Make a difference, yeah, that's for sure.
You talked about...
Make a difference,
Your support from the top, Sam. I remember many years ago, Fergie said, choose a chairman, choose an owner, and then make a decision about where you want to manage. Is it still possible to do that?
Only us older ones who don't rely on it 100% anymore. I think that if you're relying it on for your living and you want to build your career and you want to try and be successful, you cannot always pick and choose where you go and what you get. You try your very best. But I think that the information you get off an interview when you sit down with the owners, and often you don't sit down with the owners anymore, though, Richard. You sit down with the people who have been employed by the owners, because they're from abroad too, to look after their interests and their investment in the football club. Now, that's where you are dealing with. You are dealing with employees just like yourself. Mm. They're not owners. So often you can't get the decisions and you can't get going forward like you would want to, because there's various sources you have to go through to get where you want. And if you delay in football, you can be lost very quickly, because, you know, decisions have to be made exceptionally quickly, unlike business decisions, which could take a lot more longer process to digest. Look at football is instant. When a decision needs to be made, it needs to be made instantly. And whether that's on moving a player on or bringing a player in or a member of staff, it's critical that it's done ASAP as quickly as possible. Otherwise, it could cause major problems down the line. But dealing with the people above, and having a relationship with them and all pulling in the same direction will help you be successful and will stop you getting put under pressure as much as Steven Gerrard's been under pressure. So, or anybody else that's at the bottom. They seem to be very... very patient with Brendan, I'm glad to say, at Leicester at the moment. He seems to be turning it down, you know what I mean? Mm. So, you know, Dean suffered the same. I mean, you know, did Dean Smith deserve to get sacked? No. He didn't. His record, you know, I thought deserved he could have a bit longer. I mean, what he actually did to get Villa up was actually pulling off at what's called a miracle in this game. Mm. It wasn't just a great run. It was a miracle situation. 10 wins on the trot to get in the playoffs and win the playoffs to get in the Premier League, you know. And like bad, I said, you lose a Jack Grealish and you become less a manager. Because that's what everybody thinks. You're not as good a manager as you used to be, but you lose the best player, and you can't replace him.
Let me ask you though, Sam, in Stephen Gerrard's case, you're right, they did lose their best player in Jack Grealish, but Stephen has bought in, I'm like, 10 players?
A dozen players,
and spent 150 million plus, something like that. I know having lost them...
Can I just interject? There are some, Sam, that will say, the net spend is
50 million.
Okay, but surely you're judged on what you spend. You have to be, surely. Your decisions to bring those players in, you've got to be judged on the spend.
They're not your decisions.
Ah.
Right.
They're not.
Does no manager have a decision anymore, Sam? Come on, surely Klopp, surely Guardiola, surely those people.
You have an influence.
Yeah.
You have a say. You certainly have a say, but you are an head coach now. You're not a manager, in my experience, and that's a real problem. You have to either adjust to that or don't go back in.
Mm.
Because if you don't adjust to that, you've got to realise that you cannot be the manager. So, because the manager takes control of football and makes most of the decisions in it. That is long past now. I can't think of a manager in the Premier League now who will make those decisions like I did at Bolton or Fergie did at Man United.
You're too long in the tooth, Sam, to get caught out by a question you don't want to answer. But on the basis of what you've been saying, how many of those you took to Everton were yours?
Well, I only took two players. So the two players I took, we had a conversation with the director of football, the owner, and he came to the conclusion that what the value of those players were and what we needed to do at that particular time, we all agreed that these were the two we could get.
Who were they?
And we think felt could make a difference. Tolson and Walcott.
Right.
From Arsenal. So you wanted pace and you wanted a centre forward, which was what Everton probably need now.
Yeah. Well, still looking.
We didn't have a goal scorer, and while Tolson's didn't particularly work, I mean, my time, I think he scored maybe 6 or 7 goals in the last part of the season. And Walcott's contribution was a few assists. We finished 8th and Richard in the end.
Yes.
We didn't finish just above relegation. We finished 8th, but all the other players that were bought along before me and all the players that have been bought ever since, unfortunately, haven't worked as well as they would like.
So, modern day, that's your problem. You're actually getting... I mean, how many times do you end up with a player you don't want?
That's a difficult question to answer. You end up with, if you take a football club that's struggling, you end up with a lot of players that you don't want once you get in and amongst it.
Of course, but I'm talking about the signings.
When you're down there, but when the signings come along, you can have to take that one because it's not the first one, the second one, but it might be the third or the fourth one on your list.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to agree to it in the end because it's better off with him than without him because you know how much you need one particular player in that position, you know. So we're only following the Europeans.
Yeah, that's true.
At the end of the day, we're following the Europeans who've been doing it for years. But the thing is, they're much better at it than we are generally, I would say.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are clubs now who have set their stall out who like, obviously, Liverpool and Manchester City that are doing it extremely well. I think Manchester City made a profit, didn't they, this year? They made a profit on transfers for the first time and actually sales out were much more
in fairness, they're ruthless. I mean, the player gets to 28 and you're out if you're worth money. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, is there, necessarily? But what would your advice to Stephen be? Because, again, Andy and I, and we've discussed it with you, the game is being infiltrated with school teachers. Ex-pros that don't need to work are being sidelined. That's a danger, surely.
I think that you know, we see a young British manager come and start his career off, and I think that he's had a knockback, and a knockback takes you to a position of what are you going to do now? And obviously, in Stephen's case, this is only me, I don't know him that well. In Stephen's case, he will come back fighting, and he will come back and be more successful, and he will take the knock and learn from the knock and be a much better manager next time round. Because sometimes you learn a lot more about yourself when this happens, and make sure it doesn't happen again when you get the next opportunity, if and when you get the next opportunity, and I'm sure he will.
Do you get back on the bike as soon as you can, Sam? Would that be advice, or do you take time out to reflect?
I'd say it depends. Well, a lot depends on the position of yourself and how you feel mentally.
Yeah,
because you've got to recover mentally. If you don't recover mentally, you'll start making mistakes as soon as you go in, Andy. So you've got to recover mentally.
Okay,
and then of course you hope that position is going to give you an opportunity to be successful, wherever that might be, whether that's down in a championship or where else. He's got where he goes next. He needs to be successful, and what success is by getting a team promoted, or if it's in the Premier League, by overachieving with them, if that's the right word, to get them in a position where everybody says, "Look, Steven Gerrard's bounced back," you know, and he's looking like he's going to be an even better manager and learn from what happened at Aston Villa, take it on board and come back even stronger. With more fight, he seems that type of character to me.
So I'm going to ask you a question as well, as if you're as a coach, as a manager and a coach that you've been. Right, you're playing a game, big important game, and one of your players gets up with 3 minutes to go from the bench, strides along the touchline and disappears and pisses off into the bath.
Having been told
you're coming on.
Yes.
So what do you do with him?
And by the way, He's an iconic figure at your football club.
What do you do with him?
This is one of the problems about not being a manager anymore, but still being the head coach. You've got to go into your board, say
he's got
whatever
to go.
Whatever you do, he's got to go. Yeah. Right, for the stability of the football club and for the dressing room. And the dressing room, this player must leave as soon as possible, and you must take whatever fee you can possibly get and get him moved on, because the disturbance in the dressing room, when everybody will be looking around and looking at him and then looking what the manager or the coach is going to do to him for doing what he did, it's far more destructive to the squad of players and the harmony of the squad than keeping hold of him to try and get an extra few bob for him.
But what about Sam, if the player, I mean, obviously, you know, player X, we don't need to identify anybody specifically, but what about if the player has...
Player X?
Yeah, well, we don't need to sort of name names here, do we?
Why not?
We're just talking generally. I'm going to put another scenario.
Which is
that player X, you fine him $1 million, and he says, well, if I post something on Instagram today, I'll get that back straight away. So that's a problem. Yeah. But the former manager is his mate, and he's somewhere in that hierarchy as an advisor, and will put his arm around his shoulder again and try and bring peace. That can't help, surely.
Well, I mean, each manager has to deal with it, whoever he's dealing with, or particularly the player, whatever anybody else is doing at the football club, because he's the main focus of trying to bring success back to that football club. So he has to ignore that and continue to do what he wants to do, and continue to keep going and continue to make those decisions for the benefit of the football club and the rest of the squad.
So you've got an expression of power that is required to be seen. We've got showdown. Then is that the headline?
Well, it's not an easy position to be in.
No, it's not,
Richard. When the players are more powerful than you.
Yes,
today,
yes.
It's not an easy position to be in. You know, and I think that you have to tread very, very carefully as a coach, but it's somewhere along the line, privately, you have to make a decision with the board. You can't make that decision on your own. You have to go to the board and sit down and go, this is what we're faced with, gentlemen, or ladies and gentlemen, or persons, whatever.
Or American advisors, yeah.
American advisors, yes.
Or whatever it might be, you know, trying to be politically correct again. But I think that, you know, we sit here with a problem. We need to discuss this problem and collectively come to the right decision.
But my advice is get rid of that, would be what you say. Yeah.
Well, you have to, don't you? Because you can't.
Yeah, of course
and,
you do.
And by the way, he's had a face like a spanked ass for the last 6 months.
He has.
Of course you've got to get rid of it. They should have got rid in the summer. Sadly, there were no takers on the terms that he wanted.
No.
There we go. That's Player X.
Player X, yes.
Yeah.
Ronaldo.
Yeah.
That was a guess.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I love talking, Sam. We've taken enough of your time. It's a glorious day.
Yes, it's
here
a lovely day,
East.
And go Sam's an hour ahead of us.
Yes, go and sit yourself by the pool and give our apologies to Mrs. Allardyce for interrupting her holiday.
Is it brunch today, for you?
Problem.
Is it brunch for you on Friday down there?
No, it's turned to Saturdays here, Andy.
Oh, of course,
yes.
The weekend.
We're the European weekends now.
Don't do Friday brunch anymore in Dubai.
No, do Friday brunch anymore.
Well, come and see us during the World Cup. We'll have brunch.
Well, don't forget to invite me then.
Well done.
We'll work it. Leave it with us, son. If you're there for a month, leave it with us.
If Steve Clune is listening, the message has been delivered loud and clear.
Who was it that started that channel with you?
You did, Sam. Yes, we know that. That's absolutely.
Yeah,
but, by the way, up to your son, you'll be here.
It's a message I'm always preaching, Sam, Mr. Clune well knows.
Yes.
You look after people who've looked after you. Absolutely.
I think Steve Clune will make sure he gets Sam back. We'll work on it, Sam.
Enjoy the day,
come
big
on,
man.
Steve. Have a great day, pal.
All right.
Cheers, mate.
Bye. He's still good value. You know, there's the one thing you can't buy in life, experience.
No, you can buy it, no.
He's been around the block.
Been around the block, yeah. And it was good to see him enjoying his life as well.
All we need to do now is be specific about the number of players that went in during his time at Goodison.
Oh,
those that were signed before.
Ah, right, because he only bought two, he said.
Dossoon and Walcott.
And Walcott, his two, yeah.
In closing, Arsenal can definitely win the title, says Ruud van Nistelrooy, coach at PSV, after the European game.
I'll tell you what I liked this morning. Arteta, his response to playing 70 games.
Get on with it.
I loved it. But he's right. You see, great players play 70 games and they do it every 3 days. And I want my players to get used to playing every 3 days because that'll help them. And I thought, What a breath of fresh air.
Okay.
Yeah, what a breath of fresh air.
Okay, you can win me over round.
What?
But stay in your technical area.
Yeah.
Cut the nonsense with your speakers on the training room and shouting in the faces of your footballers in the dressing room, because those three things really irritate me.
Right, well.
The latter two, of course, from the documentary.
Correct. Well, that's
watching
probably,
him midweek,
probably gone.
Running up and down the touchline, no. Klopp rightly is on a charge. You can't spend the time he did shouting in the faces of officials.
No.
And Arteta needs to control himself.
Yeah, the touchline I would agree with. But I honestly watched their game the other night. And although it wasn't a great game, and they got through, they won 1-0. But I just thought it was so refreshing when people say, no, you need to rest these young players. No. These young players need to be able to do what they're doing. They need to be able to cope with the right, like the things that Arteta coped with when he played. You've got to do that, Richard. You've got to play these games. And it was so nice to hear a top manager at a top club say, do you know what? We've got 70 games. Fine. If we didn't have 70 games, that would mean we're not very successful. Mm. The fact we've got 70 games means we're quite good. Get on with it. Let's play. I'll rest you when I need to. He can rest him when he needs to. Of course he can. But it was so nice to hear somebody say, let's get on with it,
boys.
We're
here every week. Must have done more than 70 podcasts now.
Oh, easy. But we get 6 days in between them, don't we? So we're not too bad.
That's it for this weekend. Whatever sport you are watching, enjoy. And we will see you back here same time next week.
By the way, quick, who's the manager of the Villa? Who's getting it?
Pochettino.
Oh.
They need a character.
Is that your show?
They need someone to go in, throw their shoulders back, push their chest out and say, this is Aston Villa. Embrace the place.
Tuchel?
I want someone now. I want a colourful, expansive individual who understands the football club.
I think your shout's a good one. If Pochettino wants it, I think they'll go for it.